Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24:12. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has begun already. The judgments of God are now upon the land to give us warning, that we may know what is coming. The days are fast approaching when there will be great perplexity and confusion. Satan, clothed in angel robes, will deceive, if possible, the very elect. There will be gods many and lords many. Every wind of doctrine will be blown. The mark of the beast will be urged upon us. Those who have step by step yielded to worldly demands and conformed to worldly customs will not find it hard matter to yield to the powers that be, rather than subject themselves to insult, threaten imprisonment, and death. The contest is between the commandments of God and the commandments of men. In this time, the gold will be separated from the dross in the church. True godliness will be clearly distinguished from the appearance and tinsel of it. Many a star that we have admired for its brilliancy will then go out in darkness. Chaff, like a cloud, will be borne away on the wind, even from the places where we only see flour or rich wheat. All who assume the ornaments of the sanctuary, but are not clothed with Christ's righteousness, will appear in the shame of their own nakedness. But there are men who will receive the truth, and these will take the place made vacant by those who became offended and lived the truth. Men of true Christian principle will take their place and will become faithful, trustworthy householders to advocate the word of God in its true bearing and its simplicity. The Lord will work so that the disaffected ones will be separated from the true and loyal ones. The ranks will not be diminished. Those who are firm and true will close up the vacancies that are made by those who have become offended and apostatized.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, what a wonderful time to be living as we see the signs being fulfilled all around us. And Father, if we haven't seen the signs being fulfilled, it means that we have not been studying your word. Because just like you predict in the past, these things are now happening just right before our very eyes. For now the time has come, Father, for us to search our lives, see if there be anything in our lives that are not like you. Because we realize, Father, that when you should return, if there be anything in our lives that are not a part of your character, we will be lost for eternity. So till today we pray that we will search our lives to see that we are in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome all of our listening audience this afternoon. And we'd like you to know that we'll be continuing our study on the sealing and the mark of the beast. Our health topic this afternoon will be on breakfast and coffee. Marlene will bring that to us. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact us at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Our email address is tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website, which is at www.tpministries.org. On our website, you'll also be able to find the email address of both myself, Julian Miller, Paul Miller, and Marlene McKinney. If you are away from the Bahamas and you still want to listen to us via the internet, you can by logging on to www.znsbahamas.com. Now here's Mrs. McKinney on Breakfast and Coffee.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are more than happy to be able to come into your homes and wherever you are at this time, our listening audience in the Family Islands, our listening audience here in this island, and wherever else you may be. We do have persons who are listening on the in the United States and wherever else, tuning in via computer. That's the modern technology for us now. We are very concerned about the amount of persons who have been, I guess, sharing that they don't think breakfast is so important, or you don't have to actually say it. You can share it or say it by not eating it, because you are rushing and in haste in the mornings trying to get to work and to do those things that are, to you, most important. But truly, what is most important? I had a comment that was made to me a few days ago that a friend of mine says, well, we're going to die anyhow. I said to him that persons who eat breakfast live longer. And on our way sitting here in the studio, rather, Julian and I were discussing just that. And I told him, I said, I'm going to have him share his pointers on the fact that when we get sick, you know, you could die immediately once you get sick. But most of us don't. Isn't that true?
That's correct.
And he had a very interesting comment to make, and I'd like him to share that on the fact that when we get sick, how we ail for such a long time.
Well, my comment was watching my father, who had throat cancer, die. It took him a very, very long time, and it was very expensive, and it was very trying and a testing time to the family. So when I hear people talk about they're not concerned about what they eat, what they drink, I said, you know, it might be a good thing if you could just drop down dead. But we don't. And the time that we take to die, we deprived the family of resources that could be used for things that could help the family in the long run. And I'm sure there are many people out there who have gone broke or into serious debt, mm-hmm. trying to pay for someone who has gotten sick on a disease that could have been prevented.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your input on breakfast and how important it is. You know, many people are surprised to learn just how important breakfast truly is. In fact, studies have shown that if those of us who don't eat breakfast regularly, there is a 50% increased risk of death compared to those who regularly eat breakfast. Many persons have a variety of reasons why they aren't eating breakfast. And some of them include, well, I'm not hungry first thing in the morning, or I tend to get a little sick when I do eat breakfast. But did you know that if you were to eat a very light supper, if at all, you would wake up with an appetite to eat breakfast? There's something I love to share as I share my seminars around the whenever I travel, and it's this. It's breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and supper like a pauper. It means that supper is not going to be as it is now. In our country and in most parts of the world, many of us have a very light breakfast. As a matter of fact, breakfast is like a pauper, just a cup of coffee. And if you'll stay tuned, I will share with you some of the disadvantages of drinking coffee. And our lunch is slightly bigger because we have a little more time while we're working and doing all that we have to do throughout the course of the day. But boy, we can't wait to get home in the evenings. That's when we truly, truly have the biggest meal for the day. And it's the most enjoyable meal. But did you know that if you were to take that meal, prepare it the evening before like you usually do, and take it to work the next day, have it for breakfast or lunch, you will feel better. You'll be more energized. Here are some of the advantages of eating breakfast. One, you're more efficient in problem solving. For those of us who are having headaches in math or whatever the case may be, you're more efficient on your job. Your memory improves. You're increased in verbal fluency. You just speak fluently. It's no problems finding words. Some of us are lost for words. Improves attention span. Young children are found to do better in school when they eat a good breakfast. Better attitude. Some of us have the worst attitude. And I tell you, the worst time for attitude is first thing in the morning when all of us are trying to get to work. And we are just blowing every horn we can find in the steering wheel, trying to blow people out of their way. Attitude is terrible in the mornings, especially. And of course, better scholastic scores. Also, it has been noted that persons who eat breakfast have other benefits in that adults may be able to reduce their risk of heart attacks by eating breakfast regularly. You know, as a matter of fact, it is also noted that persons who are mostly overweight are those who avoid breakfast because people feel that if they eat breakfast, they're going to gain weight. And so they say, well, I'm going to fast this morning. I'm not going to eat breakfast because I'm going to lose weight by doing so. But your metabolism slows down as the day wears on and you are not going to burn off the foods that you were to eat anytime after 4 o'clock in the day. Now, I know that seems very harsh. Now, are you telling me, Marlene, that I shouldn't eat after 4? Well, I'm saying simply this. If you were to eat breakfast like a king and lunch like a prince and supper like a pauper with nothing in between but water, not even a peanut, nothing. And people are saying, what? Not even a peanut? No, not even a candy, not even a chewing gum, nothing that will stop digestion of what you just had and trying to get rid of the foods you just took in, you want to get into your system. And if you were to do that, you're going to feel so energized in the morning. You're going to have such a clear mind that you're going to call me and you're going to tell me how much better you're feeling as a result of that. In a recent study, researchers found that adolescents who ate processed oatmeal ate more food later on in the day than those who ate the unprocessed oatmeal. Foods with a high glycemic index are absorbed relatively quickly by the body, and refined oats or processed oats is just one of those foods. Researchers believe this quick absorption may create hormonal and metabolic changes that can promote overeating. Other studies reveal that people actually can live a whole lot longer if they eat breakfast first thing in the morning. I promised you that I would share the potential problems of caffeine, as many of us are eating too much, consuming too much caffeine in the form of coffee. Very quickly, caffeine is a carcinogen. It contributes to the development of cancers of the kidney, the breast, the colon, the pancreas, the ovaries, and bladder. It increases the risk of low birth weight in infants born to caffeine-consuming mothers. It elevates the blood pressure. It causes palpitations of the heart. It stimulates the stomach acid production of the hydrochloric acids, causing persons to have acid reflux and heartburn. It increases symptoms of premenstrual syndrome. What else is there? It produces dependence. Caffeine is the most legal drug on the market that's being used today. Many of us need to get off of it. I tell you, the best way to get off is just to get up early in the morning and take a cold shower. I promise you, you won't have an urge for the rest of the day. I have a guest in my home today who's, first thing she got up this morning, she said, where's the coffee? I said, coffee? We don't drink that around here. And so since she's been here in the Bahamas visiting from Trinidad, my children have been educating her on vegetarianism. And my children are age range 9 to 5. And they've been sharing with her that she needs to stop eating all the junk that she's been eating. And I hope that when she leaves, she will be a vegetarian. I hope that you enjoyed our topic for today. Our time is gone. I trust you enjoyed today's presentation on eating breakfast. And do begin eating breakfast tomorrow morning. Have a great afternoon, and may God richly bless you.
Thank you very much, Marlene, and good afternoon, Brother Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Junior. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Brother Paul, before we begin, could you give us an update on where we are at this point in our study on the ceiling and the mark of the beast?
Yes, thank you, Brother Julian. And once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Well, we continue to go through this message of the ceiling, which is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because without the seal, you and I would not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And definitely, if you don't receive the seal of God, then the opposite side of that would be of us to receive this devil seal, which is the mark of the beast. Well, this afternoon, I want to quote a few scriptures for one of our very good friends, for her and her son. They are listening today on the topic of why we should not be receiving the title of reverence. And Psalms 111, verse 9 says, and he, referring to Jesus Christ, or God himself, has sent redemption unto his people, and he establishes covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. And the Bible also tells us in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, that we should not call any man father, for one is our father, which is in heaven. That Psalm 111, verse 9 says, reverent and holy is God's name. Matthew chapter 23, verse 9 says, we should call no man father, but one is our father, which is in heaven. So you might ask, which name should be called man of the gospel, or man of the gospel who decided to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 says, and he gives some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. And why did he do this? For the perfection of the saints. Who are the saints? Revelation 14, 12 tells us, and here are the patience of the saints, and here they keep the commandments of God, and have the faith of Jesus. And as the text continues, it says, for the working of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then you also can call them bishops, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And you can also call them deacons, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. And you can also call them elders, that's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. So these are the titles that God has given to men. So if today you are calling your pastor or your minister reverend or father, by all means, you should show him respect and let him know that the Bible says, as much as you would love to do it, you cannot do it because you want to be honest and you want to show respect to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because remember, the Bible says, God will not hold us guiltless if we should take his name in vain.
But Paul, last week, before we finished, we were on the topic, or we were talking about events or things that are punishable in the Old Testament by death. And I think the question I asked you was, if the government asks you to give your opinion on capital punishment, what did you tell them? And you said that if they want to bring back capital punishment, they must bring back capital punishment for all events as specified in the Old Testament. So we're going to finish off a couple that we had not done last week. Does it talks about what seems to be a hot debated topic nowadays about homosexuality. Is that punishable by death?
Yes, it is. And that's in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 13. The Bible says, if man live with mankind as with womankind, they both should be put to death. And it's a sin thing also if a woman should live with woman as she should live with mankind. Both of them, the Bible says, they should be put to death. And a lot of churches today are now even ordaining ministers of the gospel who are known or practicing openly saying that they are homosexuals or lesbians. What a sad state to be in. And this is one of the prophecies that Christ shall take place just before he returns. As it was in the days of Lot, so should be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Then Jesus says, kindly and nicely remember Lot's wife.
What about men who go with mothers and daughters and things like that?
Also in verses 14 of the same chapter, Leviticus chapter 20, if I should have, God forbid, I should have a relationship with my wife's mother, the Bible says both my wife's mother and me, both of us, should be put to death. And you know, there are situations that in the world today where the husband is going with the wife's mother. And the Bible says if you ever come to find that out, both of them should be put to death, according to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 14.
What about going with animals?
Here again, this is another one that has taken place in the world today, believe it or not. In the late stages of world history, men and women are going with animals. And the Bible says if you should come across people like this, according to the death penalty, they both should be put to death, the man and the woman and the beast or the animal that they're having a sexual relationship with.
One of the things that we are seeing a lot of now is spiritualism, reading of tarot cards, of the palm. Does the Bible talk about these things?
Yes, it do. In the same chapter, Leviticus chapter 20, the last verse, verses 27, the Bible says, if a man or a woman have a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, both of them should be put to death, meaning that palm readers or psychic hotlines. You know, you heard a lot about Mrs. Claire or Mrs. What her name was? Mrs. Cleo. You know, there was a lot of thing in the media about her, but all of a sudden she fell by the wayside. So if, you know, you are having a relationship with these type of people, even one of the presidents of America, wife, used to be talking with a psychic. I can't remember which president it is. And the Bible says both the man and the woman should be put to death, or the psychic person who they have in relationship. So the Bible is clear. So if you want to bring back the death penalty, let's not be one-sided. Let's bring back all of the death penalty. You know, in the day in which we live, a lot of people are upset when someone loses their lives at the hands of a gunshot or an axe or a cutlass or whatever it might be. But how many noise we hear in the market when people die from cigarette smoking or drinking rum? As a matter of fact, these people that have these stores that sell these things are held up in high esteem in the Bahamas and all around the world. When more people are in their grave because of cigarette smoking and rum drinking than from the life of losing their lives through a gunshot or through a stabbing incident.
Does the Bible give any indication of those who would receive the seal of God?
Yes, it do. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 6 to 8, the Bible says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst, and the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh, they shall inherit all things, and I will be their God, and they shall be my son. But the faithful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and all liars, they should have their part in the lake of fire that is burning with brimstone. The Bible says this is called the second death.
Now you mentioned in verse 7, you talked about overcoming. Overcoming what?
The thing that the Lord wants to overcome, ladies and gentlemen, is sin. S-I-N. And what is sin? 1 John 3:4 tells us, for whosoever commits sin transgress also the law of Exodus chapter 20. For sin is the transgression of the law. And James 2 tells us, if you should break one of those laws, we have broken all of them.
Based on what you have said up to this point, Brother Paul, when should we be seeking the Lord?
The time is now for us to be seeking the Lord. According to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6 to 9, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It means that one day, ladies and gentlemen, he will not be found. What does that mean? One day, the intercession work in heaven will be over. According to Daniel 12:1, the Lord will stand up from the right hand of the Father. And when he stands up, the work in heaven is going to be over. And the Bible said, that time, you and I will not be able to find him. So time has come for us to call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. When? Right now. and every unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that good news? The Lord will abundantly pardon us if we should turn to him today. And not only that, we should also, for my thoughts, the Bible says, are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, said the Lord of heaven. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, are my ways higher than your ways. And even my thoughts are different from your thoughts. So what should our thoughts be? They should always be the thoughts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said before he left, let this mind be in you and I, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Brother Paul, are you trying to tell us this afternoon that there come a time when we would not be able to study the scriptures? We wouldn't have no study groups or no church groups where we could find information out?
There is coming a time, Brother Julian, when the word of God will not be able to be found. Just like how in certain parts of the world you cannot find food, when there's not a food shortage. The Bible said a time will come when you'll be looking for the word of God and you will not be able to find it. Is that true? The scripture to back it up to tell you that it really is true is Amos chapter 8, verse 11 to 13. Behold, the day cometh, said the Lord God. Who? The Lord God said the day will come when there'll be a famine in the land, not for bread, nor for water, but for hearing of the word of the Lord. And they should wander from sea to sea, meaning that they should run from one group of people to the other group of people. Because we told you, sea in Bible prophecy refers to people. So the Bible says they should wander from people to people, and from the north even to the east. They should run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord. And the sad reality is they shall not find it. And in that day shall the fair virgin and the young men faint for thirst. Why? Because they cannot find a sure word in that day.
So are you saying that if we are sleeping, that we need to be awake?
Right now, we really need to be awake, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have not awakened us yet, I assure you, just watch CNN one day for just 1 hour. And I assure you, if you watch CNN, Fox News, and I wouldn't even talk about TV 13 news. TV 13 news now is almost on the same level of Fox News today. Just watch it for 1 hour. And I assure you, if you don't wake up then, maybe nothing will wake you up. Even the Bible tells in Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, and that knowing the time, that now is high time for you and I to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the Bible says. The day is at hand. Let all of us, therefore, cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Do you have on the armor of light today, ladies and gentlemen? Do we here at Turning Point have on the armor of light? Because not because we preach the gospel, that means we have on the armor of light. Our light must be that reflector of Jesus Christ. The divine nature will not be rest upon us unless we have on the true light, which is Jesus Christ.
So what should we be doing now in spending our time and our resources doing? What should we use that for now?
Right now, we should be seeking God's kingdom first. According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, you and I should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that are needed shall be added unto us. Whose kingdom should we be seeking first? God's kingdom. Not the animal kingdom that is in Disney World, or the animal kingdom that is found in the jungle, but the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is running out. And you know, if you're watching the news like I'm watching the news, if you're reading the daily newspapers and the daily tabloids, you know for sure time is running out. But what are men seeking first? They're seeking technology, business planning towards living for the next 100 years, not knowing that this day their soul may be required of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're seeking doctorate degrees and master's degrees and moving from one house to the other, running to and fro. And not yet one stop to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, realizing that if they should do this first, all things are promised that they shall be added unto us today.
If we truly are seeking God and have found him, would we still be sinning?
No, we not. And if we are, that means we have not truly found him. According to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, and what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, the Apostle Paul says. How shall you and I, which should be dead to sin, live any longer therein? So if you and I are still sinning today, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have not truly been born again. People that are born again do not sin deliberately. Yes, they might sin ignorantly, but not deliberately. And when the true light has come, that they are in ignorance in their sins, be assured the power of God will rest upon them so they can move on from sinning this type of sin, and the Lord will move them from height to height in his honor and in his glory.
What are some of the things that we would be doing to let us know that we have not truly found him?
According to Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 9, the Bible says, and woe, no man, owe no man anything. So the Bible first said in Romans 13, 8, if you and I owe anybody anything, we have not truly been born. Because the Bible says no one should be owed by us unless we work on an agreement with them. And by all means, we will carry the agreement out. But to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit no adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Did you get that? The Bible did not say we must first learn to love ourselves. But once we are empowered by Christ, we would automatically love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But this is what the Bible is trying to say, that we are born selfish. We are born with a bent towards pleasing ourselves. And this is the reason why we have alcoholics and drug addicts and bank robbers and murderers, because they're trying to please themselves. And they'll go way out. How much of a longer might take? By pleasing themselves, and the end result always end up, if you die pleasing yourself, will always end up to be death, eternal death and damnation.
Are you saying to us, Brother Paul, this afternoon, that unrighteous persons will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Not one, Brother Julian. Not one unrighteous person. Not one person that's going against the cause of God will receive eternal life. How do I know? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11 tells us, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor people who deal with familiar spirit, or an effeminate." Effeminate are those men who act like women, or those women who act like men, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Nor those that who abuse themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, those who die drinking rum, or even those who sell rum, nor rivals, nor extortioners, those who do things through the back door to try to get things done that they know. These people, the Bible says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the Bible says in verse 11, will tell you why. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. So the Bible says, if you and I are doing these things that I just mentioned, you and I will not wash. But if you truly want to be washed, Jesus will do that for you today if you surrender totally to him.
Does the Bible give a clear distinction between the two groups, the righteous and the unrighteous?
It sure do. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 10 to 12, the Bible says, "And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time surely is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he which is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, says Jesus, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work shall be."
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O Lord, for allowing us this afternoon to come before you and to call on your name. Lord, we know that some of the things that we might have heard today might be hard and difficult. But Lord, as we ask regularly on this program, we're asking you, Lord, to come down and put a special blessing on us as we study your word. We know for sure that we're in the last days, Lord, and we need your guidance and your protection. So this afternoon, we're asking it for ourselves and our listening audience this afternoon. Help us, O Lord, to give us the power and the strength to move forward. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we ask you to continue to pray for this program and for all the ministers, all the members of Turning Point Ministry, as we continue to ask the Lord to lead and guide us into all truth, that we can share these wonderful truths with you. Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273, and our website is www.tpministries.org. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julie Miller. May the love of God continue to be with you.